you know, the savvy index, that is a very important concept. I'm interested in all the ways that we can apply that to the sophistication of our customers at an organizational level, or even down into the individual users, and, you know, making sure that the people who are running these IT systems are able to kind of sort and stack their efforts or their protection investments according to, you know, the guys in the IT department probably are not going to be clicking on things that are inappropriate. But, you know, if we get into sales, if we get into customer service, a call center, a very large volume of less savvy technical users across different end customer organizations, there's an entirely new dimension to thinking about who's most likely to be vulnerable. So I do find that that's a very interesting concept. So you mentioned a minute ago the idea of a traditional approach to malware management, you know, blacklist, whitelist, the static approach to what's approved and what's not approved. That's not going to be fast enough. It's not going to be robust enough to accomplish what we need in this area. How are the legacy tools adapting? What are the new layers of protection and resources that we need, and how do we adapt our systems so that we can stay ahead of that wave of ransomware?
Talking about like legacy tools and how to stay ahead of ransomware. Well, you know, it used to be keyloggers and lock screens to prevent you from accessing your computer, but now ransomware is the future because their overhead is cheaper, the payout is greater, quicker, more secure. You need to have proactive URL and IP reputation. You need to have sort of leveraging machine learning at times if you need, where they can make a prediction based on your first person or at least within our network visiting the site. We can still determine that's bad based on, you know, many, many factors of pre-indicators into our machine learning environment. You know, multi-layer approach as well. You can't just have you need to have URL, IP reputation, file data reputation, and then also execution. And that's the legacy AV was predominantly when it first came out just execution. It was like a similar, like they had a sort of a blacklist of executions, and then every file got to run, and anything that matched the executions for blacklist was then, you know, terminated in quarantine, and then everything else that didn't match it gets to run with impunity. And you need to have further than that. And at our even beyond our sort of multi-layered approach, you know, our last layer would be heuristics. We let a file run. If even if nothing matches there, it's still monitored as an unknown. If we've determined something is not good or not bad, we don't know yet. It's an unknown. Even though our dwell time as far as determining it is on average about 10 minutes, within that time, you would say, hey, look, I'm compromised. It's running. No. You know, we have journaling and monitoring, which would basically monitor the file. Anything it would do as far as file creation, deletion, modification. Same thing with registry entries, creation, deletion, modification. We'll go ahead and record all that. Any files been deleted will snapshot and save. And so let's say 15 minutes or 2 hours later, we determine that file is bad. We can go ahead and reverse all those changes as recorded by the journaling. So, you know, like I said, very complex multi-layered approach.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think that maybe the most important thing you said there is that it's not a static approach, but it's also not just a manual approach. There are things attached to technology, machine learning and predictive analytics, but there are also things attached to the people and the thinking part of that process through the heuristics that allow us to interpret the analytics that we identify. And that combination of people plus machines can hopefully keep up with the pace of what we're dealing with, and ideally we need to have both of those. It's not just a people business, but it's also not safe enough to just call it like, hey, let's put the system in place and wash our hands of it.
Right.
Very interesting stuff. I'll tell you from an industry technology analyst point of view, the development of this technology probably one of the most rapidly accelerating or evolving places for innovation. It might be a bit scary, actually, to think of the fact that it's malware that's innovating more rapidly than applications that we want to run for good purposes. But it is definitely something we need to be paying attention to. And I think that the good news is that we've actually got advancing tools and resources to keep us ahead of the power curve. If you think about it from your point of view, what you see out there and in terms of what the urgencies are, do you have just kind of a call to action to the IT channel community about what they need to be looking for? And if they have questions, where can they go for some additional information?
There's tons of resources as far as watching. I get presentations all the time on all the new latest and greatest malware, what they're introducing, because they always have these tiny little tactics, like little things they're always adding on. Ransomware, just 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, they implemented freebies where they give you sort of a free file to decrypt, to show you what it was like if you go through the decryption routine process. And it's all about increasing trust. Right? And so now every encrypting ransomware uses that. And there's always new tactics being tried. Most encrypting ransomware have you create a Bitcoin wallet, pay in the dark net with a layered encryption browser, with Bitcoins. But there are some now that are trying, let's not do that. Let's just do these one-time self-destructing messages that are only displayed once that are emailed to you in a link, because they know that for some users, when we talked about the savvy index of computer usage, this is a daunting task. Installing a layered Tor browser, what is a Bitcoin wallet address? It's too much for some people, and so they know that those people aren't going to pay out even if they wanted to because they couldn't follow it. So there's different tactics that they're always trying, and you want to be on the lookout for that. And you can go to our blog. We always blog about the newest ones. We also have sort of guides on especially in endpoint environments, creating group policies. That's huge. A lot of encrypting ransomware executes out of certain directories, like app that or attempt. Now, not all of them. This is not a blanket for sure thing. But you can create group policies to prevent certain unknown files out of certain directories. That'll help you. Now, it's not going to be 100%. Nothing is. But even if you were just reducing your surface exposure by 20%, it's well worth it, especially because, it's free. We have a write-up showing you how to do it. And there are other companies that have started up, like Foolish IT, Crypto Prevent, where they basically charge you $5,000 for an enterprise license to do that for you when you can do it yourself for free. So check it out.
There are many legs to the industry of malware. There are sellers, there are buyers, there are service providers. It's unfortunate that we use these traditional economic descriptions to associate with what's actually an illegal activity, but that's the reality we're dealing with here. So yeah, it is encouraging.
It's a business model.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's a business model, and the fact that we're finally seeing it that way, I think we can maybe meet them at their own game and not just expect them to play by the rules. But let's get competitive about this stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. So from a last question point of view, obviously a lot of details that are going on here. And like you said, things change and they update frequently. If people are interested if they had some specific questions, if they're interested in additional details, you're a resource that I find to be very plugged into this stuff. I'm sure they would as well. Is it okay if we target people to reach out to you if they have questions?
Sure. Not a problem. In fact, I'll give you my work email. It's T Moffitt, M-O-F-F-I-T-T, at webroot.com, T-M-O-F-F-I-T-T at webroot.com. Hopefully that gets through to everybody.
Excellent. Yeah, because like I said, knowing what it was 6 months ago does not mean that we know what is going on in ransomware today and 6 months from now. It will be quaint what we thought was cutting edge just this time. So it's definitely important. If we think we're into it now, we need to stay into it and keep up with all of these details. So I want to say thank you very much, Tyler, for joining us for the conversation today. A lot of really good information. And obviously, this is speaking to something that matters to our customers, and it is addressing all of our service provider relationships. So very timely stuff. Thank you very much for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me around.